Welcome in. Welcome to episode 122. We've got a Miami game to talk about. We've got an Atlanta game coming up, Citi Field, for the home opener. And I know we got a bit of scouting done today watching the Atlanta game, and so we can talk a little bit to that as well. But the game that was yesterday night against Miami, we dodged the messy bullet. He has the hamstring issue, whatever it is that's lingering. But it kind of gave similar vibes to Cincinnati in that these are the road games that when you walk out with a point and you looked for a lot of the times to be the more dangerous team, it feels okay. I won't say it feels good, but it feels okay.
Yeah, I would firstly like to say that Messi dodged the NYCFC bullet.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. But no, I mean, to not come in with 3 points in that game feels frustrating to me personally, you know. Not only with how the game went, but, you know, specifically that 96-minute, you know, attack. Just, I have not been able to get that out of my head, personally. So, yeah, well, we should get into it. And like you said, maybe somebody on the Nextdoor app might cause some lash out towards certain players. But
well, I think the perfect place to start is probably diving into what might be the most tinkered lineup we've ever seen from Nick Cushing. Which is saying a lot.
You know, force, I'd say.
Yeah. When you have, and let's say this too, in the press conference, I think he played up the Kevin O'Toole concussion a lot more, at least to us. We were definitely on here like, this is very serious. I guess he had an issue last year that was undisclosed.
Right.
And he ends up getting minutes in this game, which...
Right. Well, you know, I think once we saw him on the bench, I think that kind of told me everything that I needed to know that he was going to come into the game at some point, but I just didn't know when.
And then weirdly, Burke gets scratched altogether.
Right. Which, you know, must have been, an indication of his pain that he's in currently. You know, apparently, probably at the training ground was a little bit too much for him. And so he, you know, he misses this game. But honestly, I mean, speaking of Burke and his position, like, Tana really didn't do horrible like he maybe did last game.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously Suarez, as much as I dislike him,
he
was a problem.
Front of the
anger. Oh yeah, I mean, I don't care if he walks. I just don't. I don't care.
No, you're right. We went pretty hard on Tana last week. Yeah. I would say, and to be fair to us, because we deserve fairness towards us, there was reason for it.
For sure,
there was reason for it, and I think he kept it quiet this game. You know, there was still some wild animal plays and he did get himself a yellow that resulted with him having to be pulled from the game early. I don't think we probably would have seen him come out if he didn't have that yellow late in the game. But looking at the lineup, knowing O'Toole's out and Burke's out, I think the first question for anybody would be, who is playing defense for our team?
Right.
So we've got Hanez stuck in at a left wing back.
Yep.
Then we've got Tana left center back, Thiago middle center back, and Tavon
right
was out at right center back.
Right center back,
yeah. With Mija in front of him.
Right.
As the right wing back. And that's a lot of people to have when you're playing defense for you. So we've got Sands and Keaton in front of them. And then we get the start debut for the would-be goal scorer of the night, Alonso, on the right wing. Kind of came out of nowhere and I think surprised a lot of people with the shift that he put in. Baki up top, who there's going to be a discussion about him in this episode. And then Santi out left.
There's a few guys I need a discussion.
Yeah, and that lineup didn't last long.
Well, that
formation
setup, I guess. Yeah. The formation really didn't last long, which rightfully so. I mean, it looked like a disaster early on. At the beginning of the game, I thought, you know, everything that I said in this episode about not being afraid of Miami and blah, 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 I was like, oh, it's fully coming back to haunt me right now. This team is going to get like 5 put on them. Luckily, Nick, you know, credit to him, he saw those issues and fixed it quickly and switched up the formation. But yeah, I mean, who or what do you think was the main cause of those issues early on?
I think it's a mixture of putting too much stock in Mija and Hanez in positions that they are largely unfamiliar with. I know Hanez, when he came in, everybody thought he would be a left back because he's done it in his career, or at least be able to fill in as needed there. And Nick came out in the preseason and was like, he will not play left back. Cue last night's game against Miami. He starts left back, left wing back. But it just felt, I think there were a few moments, and we only saw this this setup for 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
But there were a few moments where I noticed somebody getting by Hanez or him realizing like, oh, I'm playing defense too.
Right. Yep.
And you see him turning around and putting his head down and sprinting to cover a spot or to try to pick a ball out from somebody. And I just don't think, you know, especially when then your left center back is Tana and he has to absorb the pressure that two men are supposed to be dealing with, it's not going to go well. And then you see things happen like Suarez going unmarked on a set piece.
Which happened a lot.
Yeah. So in my opinion, I think it's both of them. It was more evident to me on Hanez's side, but I think, you know, we've had our gripes over the course of the season about Micha in general, especially when it comes to defending. So between the two of them, I think it, you know, we strayed too far from the KISS strategy, the keep it simple, stupid. It's like, you know, we're throwing way too many books and changes at a lot of these young players that don't even have a ton of minutes together.
Right.
So like to expect them to adopt this brand new thing in a week, like it was never going to work.
Yeah, I think that personally for me, that was the biggest thing was not only is it a five at the back, which I don't think we've seen this season. Mm-hmm. Maybe when we were bunkering down to try to, you know, seal out points.
Portland.
Weird. Strange. that's strange. But yeah, I mean, like, I think, you know, not only playing a formation that we haven't done outside of maybe 20 minutes at some point trying to secure points, not only that, but you also have five players who haven't played together at all. So, right. And so I think it was just too much change too quickly. And then on top of that, you just had maybe Thiago Martin's worst game ever. And
there's been some stinkers the last few weeks.
We won't be there next week, Thiago, for you to press us in the in the locker room. Like, so catch us the following week. But dude, like that was shocking. Like, it was truly shocking for me personally, as somebody who's put a lot of stock into Thiago Martins, the center back.
And I think as a club, we've put a lot of stock into Thiago Martins,
very
the center back.
Enough to push Chanel away and be like, we're good.
And I don't know, is he still on DP? I think he might still be on DP money. Like, and I think we always do the thing as a fan base where we're like, oh, he can be bought down, so we don't have to worry about this. But like, we've had like an endless number of DPs where they could be bought down and like it's never happened. So I think we are still paying him that level of cash, and then obviously giving him the captain's armband too. It's like investing so much into making sure that this one guy is going to be our Iron Man, and he's been probably the shakiest of the bunch on defense in terms of the expectations that people have had for him coming into the season.
Definitely.
Through these first games, and that I don't know how to fix some of the issues if they haven't been fixed yet.
Yeah, I mean, he's 29 years old.
The long ball thing over the top, it's not getting better.
It's beyond that at this point. And let me just say, get ahead of this conversation that may happen at some point, face to face with Thiago, like the man, the leader, mm-hmm. bar none. You're probably the highest mentality we have on this roster. But that's why we're upset with the performance, because he's getting beat on long balls. He's getting beat on just marking people in general. He's getting beat with simple moves. It's a combination of things where you're setting up Matt Fries to be the future number one for the national team.
How smart do we sound?
Because he has to face all of these shots because you aren't defending well.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is the perfect storm for a goalkeeper that's like trying to make a splash. It's like you do have that raw talent, but then like you do need to have kind of a shitty defense in front of you to force you to prove it like every single week for the entire game. And now this is, after last episode, you know, I was editing and I was like, we might be going a bit too far, like saying Freese men's national team. And this is now the second game in a row where he is the man of the match on a team that has multiple seven-figure young players running around the attack, running around the midfield, and like this guy, who's just a guy that we picked him up for gam
Philly
pennies from Philly.
Philly didn't want him.
Yeah, and
how dumb do they look?
Yeah, they do. I mean, there's not a day that goes by that Philly doesn't look. But yeah, I mean, we got him for pennies, and he is that. He is potentially gonna make a case. If the whole season looks like this, he might be. Nobody could have imagined he would be the player that would leave on a transfer at the beginning of this season over anybody. If you could throw a dart at anybody on the team, like how does it end up being Freese?
And, you know, it's unfortunate because the only goal that he concedes in this game is one that, in my opinion, comes from a foul on Sands.
Yeah.
Suarez being the dirty bastard that he is and just shoving Sands, like, you know, gets a free open header from it. That's the only goal that he concedes in this game. That looks so good for him.
Something has to be said about Suarez, too, at the end of the game. Crying about free, and Freese was playing it up, and
for sure,
and that is a move,
right? Go on.
But to cry about embellishment when your name is Luis Suarez,
right,
is one of the craziest things to you can do on national TV.
The racist that you are, the vampire biting people that you are,
I was showing
the serial career flopper that you are. Dude's a loser, and obviously, like he then puts his finger in Freese's face.
Yeah,
all of it, embarrassing.
I was showing my, we were watching the game, I was showing my girlfriend, I was like, did you ever know that he bites people? And she was like, what does that mean? Like, what does that even mean? And I YouTube, Luis Suarez biting people. And
it's like 2 minutes long.
There's enough instances that they have a compilation. It's right. Luis Suarez bite compilation, which is just, it speaks, I guess, really to the man that is.
Him and Van Zier are going to be getting Suarez. Beers together whenever. Red Bulls in Miami play.
Yeah.
Dude's a scumbag.
Yeah.
And he can barely run. Like, I can run faster than him.
He has impressed me, though. I don't know how he has legs in the 90th minute.
But he doesn't, though.
He is poaching.
He's poaching.
Yeah.
And there's that one big sprint where he then goes down and, like, accidentally kicks Freese.
And we have to be honest, he was doing his best Baki impression for a lot of the game. Like, there is a universe out there where Luis Suarez put a poker on us.
Well,
the delivery that he was getting from Gressel, and, I mean, Jordi Alba was kind of quiet, but the rest of Miami, the service that he was getting, at least in the first half, was crazy. Gressel definitely played one of the prettiest balls to him at the back post, and it was just, like, out of his reach. He could have done a lot more damage than he did.
I think you're giving a little credit to Baki because Moonsef can't get the ball off the ground.
Yeah.
And
let's talk about calling him Moonsef.
Of Moonsef. His name is Moonsef now.
He's lost nickname rights.
He, until further notice, will not be called a Baki or even Bakrar because dude hasn't scored. You don't get a nickname. Point blank period. I think that's pretty much all on that.
And we were unlucky last night to still have Jovan gone to international duty. That would have been the perfect game where I think the delivery was there on our end, especially towards the end of the game. Keaton playing ball, that ball to Alonso. And then I tweeted, that was the first time where we had a moment in the season where I'm like, we have to score this.
Right.
And it was scored. That was the first time. And it's week six. And I don't know, you know, maybe that is what Cushing needs to see from Alonso to now be like, okay, you're the guy then.
Yeah.
And until you prove otherwise, you're the guy at right wing.
But that's anybody. I think anybody that scores at this point has to play the next game. And you continue to ride hot hands because you can't keep selecting people and putting people in positions off of maybes and potential.
Merit, yeah.
Like, it has to be 100% performances, tangible impact on games that get you into the next game. We simply can't just be like, oh, well, Julian can do great things.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, outside of one thing.
Yeah. And I think pulling it back to Baki, too, because I really did want to talk about him. I think I'm fed up with the Baki being the starter and Jovan being the sub experiment. I think that has not, we've now seen enough that it needs to switch. I think Jovan, who we've heard can run around for 70 minutes at this point, fitness-wise, that's when Baki's getting yanked anyways.
Right.
Like, regularly, that's when our striker is being pulled for Jovan. So let Jovan get the first 70. We'll see if he has shooting boots. And if not, I think the creation Baki brings, which is second to none in the MLS. It's just the finishing.
Right.
Nothing, no goals come from it. But, like, the opportunities that he's putting together are literally insane.
Yeah.
Let him have those against dead leg center backs in the 80th, 90th minute. And since we play 100 minutes every week now in the MLS, I guess, that might be what it takes. Maybe you just have a lazy center back or, you know, somebody old like Miazga that isn't going to be able to give it, you know, 100 minutes every week and he can put something away.
Yeah, I think that it's at least, we're at the point where you know, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to make some type of change in order to get things done because, you know, we'll get into it. But like I told you, we should have been celebrating, you know, a 96-minute winner, road win.
Yeah.
And a much more excited episode right now than what we got.
And there's a few ways on that play right at the end where it went wrong.
Yeah.
Right before that, I think I want to talk a little bit about how the same player in question, Hanez, we have Malachi, he makes it on the field, and he tries to take on a defender in the box. He does try a skill move, and it gets dispossessed and falls to Hanez. And I don't remember what, I want to say it was the 82nd, some around that. You know, we still had 10-ish minutes to play, and we were still chasing a goal, I feel. It didn't feel like other games where the team was clearly instructed to sit on it.
Right.
Like, there was still attacking potential being made. There was more than just Santi on the field as an attacker at that point. And the defender dispossesses Malachi and falls to Hanez, and he just runs into the corner.
Yeah, which, you know,
I think 82nd is way too early.
I wouldn't say to his credit, but I guess, you know, when you look at it again, you know, there really isn't anywhere for him to pass the ball. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he has, what, 2-3 guys on him?
Yeah.
So it is it's a tough situation, but you at least have to, like you said, try to get the corner or, you know, try to get possession or something like that. Like, just playing it to where you are killing time and then you get dispossessed and it comes off of you. Like, that just looks bad.
82nd minute is way too... I think you're showing your cards too early to the other team about what you're trying to do.
Right.
Especially in this league where we're playing 100 minutes every week. There's 20 minutes left in that game when Hanez is doing that.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
And then, you know, you go straight from that to Perea dispossessing Busquets. Oh my God, you got in my head. Oh my God. Oh. No, I can't believe you got in my head. Busquets.
Nah, that was from... I don't even know the words. No. I was going to say God's mouth to your ears or God's mouth to your mouth. Weird.
Mouth to mouth with God on Easter. That's crazy, bro. Wow.
No, that was a little bit of an Easter intervention from the big guy. He has risen the rest of the world.
He has risen and jammed my speech. But no, so we dispossess Busquets there, and Hanez takes way too long pushing it up when it's a 4v2. Way too much time on the ball, and then...
making the wrong pass.
Well, if he was trying to pass to Santi, then yes. If he was trying to pass to Malachi, I can see the vision there. Mm-hmm. You know, where Malachi, at that point, in theory, brings it up a little bit farther. If Santi holds his run a little bit, you know, forces a 2v1 on that center back, you know, you're looking at overloading those two guys. Mm-hmm. And that just comes down to, like, football IQ, where as Santi kind of gets it, does too much, turns into nothing. If you play that quicker, if you have confidence and a high football IQ, that's a 100% goal. If that was Miami on the other way, would have been a goal without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that's where the frustration is.
And if it doesn't go to Santi, then it goes out to Julian.
Right.
Who himself, he probably does hopefully his best Alonso Martinez impression and buries that thing with nobody in between him and the keeper. And yeah, I think us watching at home and away fans were probably robbed of what could have been maybe a turnaround moment.
Yeah,
I mean, it's game six, right? But for a small part of the season, maybe it adds that morale and that confidence moving forward. And I think we'll need it. We have Atlanta at City Field next, City Field home opener. Obviously, always great vibes there. I know we aren't going to make it there, but today we saw at least some of, I think, the closing moments of the Atlanta game. We have Giakoumakis, who is on a tear right now. I think he has 5 goals and 1 assist in 6 games. Then you have Thiago Almada, as you called out as we were watching. Don't know how he still managed to be in the MLS, but what do you see? What do you think happens?
I mean, a team that goes and creates, I think, 4 expected goals, scores 3 of them, you know, defending really well. They still have that statue in goal, but, you know, even him, like, even he's playing at a high level, you know, for his age. And so it's a difficult opponent. Obviously, I think the fact that we're at home, no matter how bad we might be, is still always a benefit, right? And so that brings it into more of a, you know, even playing ground. But if they're able to create 4 expected goals again, there's no way we come out winning, I don't think.
Yeah.
You know, it's just our defense can't handle that, and our offense can't create enough to compete with that. So it's kind of, you know, it's a numbers game at that point.
And is it time with a defense this poor to bring back a guy like Ronnie, who has famously said, I'd rather win 6-5 than 1-0? Because we have the five part of that. We could check that box every game. You want us to concede 5, Ronnie? We can do it.
Yeah, watch us.
But you have to teach these young kids how to score 6. And you might be the guy to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'd feel bad for Nick. Mm. But I think even he would agree that from the outside looking in, you could see how the change has been made.
The optics are bad right now.
Like, you're the only coach from last season that was in a hot seat that wasn't fired. We are now 1 win, 1 draw in 6 games. The writing's on.
Yeah, you know, that's like, all you have to say. You know, you really don't need more bullet points.
You don't need to go deeper into that. And, you know, there's been a lot of circumstance, but that is what it is. So I'd feel bad for Nick, and I think that it would be a job incomplete on his part, but I wouldn't be able to argue with it. There's not a single argument that I can make against it. The real thing that I would do, the biggest thing, would be open your checkbook and spend however much money it takes, whatever salary it takes, whatever
What name is coming?
Go to Greece and get Collins back.
Okay. I thought you were going manager.
Nope.
But riff on the Collins.
Let him come in.
Let him cook.
Let him come in and be the coach to Thiago, the coach to Tana, the coach to anybody, the real leader, the Don Dada of this shit, and let him turn our season around.
Yeah.
I think that signing alone brings this team from conceding every game to actually being able to get clean sheets, genuinely. And you are the King Alex Collins guy.
Yeah. I mean, I would almost say if it was up to us anymore, get the band back together. If you're going full Ronnie, you're going Collins, you have to get the band back together and bring in Chanel. And now we see him donning black and gold across the country for a team that, if we were to make it all the way, are very likely to be somebody we play against. You know, in the wildest dreams that we can make it to an MLS Cup. And it's messed up that we have to say wildest dreams in front of that statement when we won one 3 years ago. But we haven't had the opportunity to touch on that signing with Chanel going to LAFC, you know, back into the league and not with us. What were your first thoughts when that happened? I think a lot of people, obviously, very upset, but I think it's been split because now we're looking at a situation where it's the second time that it's happened, and it reinforces the club or the manager side a little bit when you see it happen again.
Right. I think, honestly, what it made me realize is that back when he did leave, I think he did create a stink to leave. I don't know that we'll ever know. Chanel follows us on Twitter if you see this somehow. Like, we would love to talk about it and hash out your reasons, which obviously every single time that you hear somebody's reasons for doing something, 9 times out of 10, you're like, bro, I could see your side. Like, I could kind of see why you did that. But I think the optics of it now just look like he saw Gabby force his way out with family-related things.
Yeah.
And was like, I could do that.
Yeah, I hate losing, too.
I hate losing, too. Yeah. I could get out of here and just go make money in France.
And that club wrote a crazy little, like, hit piece statement on him, too.
Well, hit piece if it's not real.
Hit piece if it's not real.
But also... So,
and people were pretty upset with management in the Twitter comments, at least. But Twitter is a place where commenters live, too.
That being said, it was public that, you know, Chanel kind of left NYCFC for family reasons.
Yeah.
It would be crazy manipulation, but the club could have been like, you know what, we're just going to create a narrative that paints it like he's doing it again.
Yeah.
So it's not on them.
Oh, the other club. Like, right. They could, yeah. I mean, I think the worst part of it all is we'll probably never know either way.
Until he retires.
Yeah, until, especially not now, I think that he, you know, if he had retired from that club, I think it'd be a different situation because then, you know, you don't become tied to all these different parties in a they can be my boss type of way. So you're not scared to speak about things, I think, that you would have previously been scared to speak about. But with him back in the league, like, I mean, I think the MLS could probably go for his pockets if he's, like, talking shit about another club in the MLS, like related to fines or who. I mean, they slapped like one of their own analysts with a criticism fine, like because he criticized referees on their broadcast. So, and he got fined for that. That's like, you know, it's, you know, judge and jury over
Square
there
Bob.
In the MLS New York offices.
That's crazy.
So
slap us with a fine.
Don't slap us.
League sucks, bro. The refs did suck.
Yeah. Do you think they're a little bit better? I mean, we only saw one game, but better than the replacement guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It was noticeable at least in this one game.
Yeah, for sure.
And I like that guy giving lip service back to Luis Suarez. He was like, when that whole situation was unfolding at the end with Freese and Suarez, that ref was fed up with him. And he did not give a shit that it was Suarez that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
So and I like that.
Who wouldn't?
I think it was the Pigeons that tweeted, if Luis Suarez says another word to Matt Freese, I'm going to fly to Fort Lauderdale and deal with him myself.
For real, dude. He's going to have to see both of us at Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
I know it's September 21st because they're already selling tickets for it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know if they're selling. I don't know if they're selling tickets anymore. I think the general public is flipping those tickets
for
stupid amounts of profit.
And watch, all the mainstream media rats are going to be out of the you know, onto the stadium to pretend they care about soccer for the day.
The type of guys that only pull up to the homecoming for dinner and then they dip.
Right. I'm going to be vocal about it.
And they're vocal about it during the dinner. Like,
wow, bro, there's a lot of people in this press box that I didn't see last week.
Yeah.
Who the fuck are y'all?
Or the week before. Yeah. So that's 122. We've got Atlanta next. We'll see how it goes. I don't know if spirits are high for it. But as you alluded to, anything can happen when you're playing in New York.
Give me a little birthday present.
It is. It is the birthday. So we'll talk to you guys after that one. I mean, this could be the worst outro ever filmed.
Oh. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, anywhere you get a podcast.
To Musk.
Send $8 to us. If you pay for Twitter Blue, just send X Blue. Terrible show. Why would anybody watch this?
At Post City Pod.
Yeah.
Wherever you are, if you're on YouTube and you make it this far, like we always say, sub, like, helps with the algorithm. Leave comments about what you think. I think that's the funnest part, when because you guys drop a comment, we might be at work at our desk and that comes straight through to us.
Yeah.
And I love nothing more than to screenshot that immediately, send it to Justin and be like, what are your thoughts on this guy's comment?
Either that or we say something like, hey, if you made it this far, just comment sign Callens.
Yeah.
And then we see like one pop up and we're like, what is this guy watching our show this long for? He's an animal.
I was going to say, sometimes there isn't even time for it to make it from me screenshotting to your phone before you have already made a comment on that guy's post. Like, nah, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Somehow we're like 20 minutes deep.
I try not to say the F word on the show. So that like stunts a lot of sentences when that would otherwise start with that word.
Right.
Which would have just happened right there. If I'm reenacting your first thoughts responding to some guy's comments, Justin's idea to sign Collins is dumbest.
Nah, I held off an F.
Yeah.
But
that one slipped last week. Made it through the moderation team.
You let it fly. And then the editor missed it too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Anyways.
Judge and jury over here.
Post 90 on everything. Let's go get Collins.
Post 90 pod.
Let's go beat Atlanta. I mean, I don't think there's anybody better in this league or this community at waffling than us.
Yeah. And then after Atlanta, I think we've got the Revs at Yankee Stadium, which is the only team in the league that is worse than us. So maybe it'll be a get-right game situation. That would probably be the next on our schedule that we consider going to. Not sure if we'll be there yet, but you guys will hear from us an episode in between to know whether or not we'll be there. So otherwise, we'll catch you after Atlanta.
Peace.